RTE Radio 1 Sport with Kia. Take the best of care of your Kia 7-year warranty. Book your next service on kiaservice.ie.
Damien O'Mara, good morning again.
Gavin, good morning to you. It is soccer to start once again, where there was a really impressive performance but ultimately defeat for Shamrock Rovers at home to AC Milan last night in the second qualifying round of the Europa League. Goals midway through each half from Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Hakan Calhanoglu secured a 2-0 win for the Italian side. Rovers now bow out of Europe. Their attention will return to domestic matters. They hold an 8-point lead in the Premier Division of the SSE Electricity League with just 7 games left to play. The Rovers head coach is Stephen Bradley.
I'm really proud of the group. I thought you were outstanding. Two bits of real quality of having done us. You switch off for half a second in the final part of the pitch and you're in trouble. But overall, so proud of how the group attacked the game, how we played. We were brave. We played our way, which was really, really pleasing. And overall, really proud of the group.
You had plenty of chances as well. Aaron Green brought 3 fine saves from Donnarumma.
Yeah, they had a lot of the ball, which you expect, you're playing against a top team. But I thought we showed that we had really good passages of play. We created really good chances off the back of good play. It wasn't long balls into the box or hitting hope. It was really good play that we created the chances. And I think that shows tremendous bravery from the players against a team of that quality. So like you said, although you have to give up the ball at times, overall, the players were excellent. Oh, there's massive learnings for us as a club and as a group from tonight. But you're talking about stepping up, you're playing AC Milan. Like, we need to be careful, like, you know. They showed us tremendous respect before the game and afterwards. Paolo Maldini and the coaches, really complimentary of how we play and what we do. And for us, that's really good, like, you know. We need to take tonight now and build on that and learn from it. I think the club have a tremendous relationship with the Lucy Juventus, who we played here a long time ago. They kept in constant contact. And I'm really sure it'll be the same here.
That's Stephen Bradley with Adrian Eames last night. Dundalk will compete in the third qualifying round. David McMillan scored in their 1-0 win away to the Andorran club Inter de Scaldes. Andy Boyle was sent off early in the second half of that game. Dundalk will now be away to the Moldovan side Sheriff in the next round. They sit 2 wins away from reaching the group stages. RTE2 will have coverage tomorrow of the Republic of Ireland's Women's UEFA European Championship qualifier against Germany. Ireland currently top Group I of qualification with 13 points from their 5 games played. Germany are a point behind. They have a 100% record from just 4 games played. They have remarkably scored 31 goals without conceding any, with 16 different players scoring so far in qualification. Ireland have to play Germany twice in their final 3 games. They also play Ukraine, who they did beat in Tala earlier in the campaign. The top team automatically qualifies, but finishing second in the group could result in automatic qualification or at least a place in the playoffs. Let's hear ahead of the game from former Irish international Karen Duggan. No easy task obviously awaits in Essen tomorrow.
Yeah, there's no denying it. It's a mammoth task, and Germany are second in the world. They were going through transition apparently in the last World Cup, and they got to the quarterfinals. With, like you said, 16 goal scorers, it's going to be hard for them to be doing video analysis to pinpoint how they can stop the Germans. I think it will be one of those games where Ireland have to play a dirty game if they're going to want to get anything out of it. It's going to be backs to the wall stuff. But the real crunch game is the Ukraine away game. That's the one that Ireland have to win. But anything from the 2 games against Germany is just going to be seen as a bonus. And if they do get something, it's going to go down as one of the most historic games in the Irish women's history, definitely.
How important are players like Diane Caldwell, Clara Reardon and Amber Barrett in a week like this? The fact that they're based in Germany, and I know teams will analyse every opponent within an inch of their life, but players who can actually tell you the nuts and bolts about a player day in, day out.
Yeah, I think any little nuggets of information that they can get will help, especially if they're training with some of these girls day in, day out. They might know some of their weaknesses. I doubt there are too many weaknesses, but it would be easy to psych yourself out as well against players that, you know, I think most of the German team are playing for really, really top clubs. You've seen a few of them were playing the Champions League final. So any little bit that the girls can bring in will be helpful. But I think that if Ireland would be well suited just to concentrate on their own game, particularly defensively, and just try and kind of put that wall up if they can.
you've mentioned that Ukraine game next month. If Ireland can get a couple of points out of their three remaining games, they're potentially in a very strong position for automatic qualification as one of the best second place teams. But most importantly, to advance to a playoff at the bare minimum is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. So you look at the teams that Germany have played so far. They've beaten the Ukraine 8-0 twice, and they've been walking through teams. Ireland need to put up a good performance and keep that score difference down to make sure that they are in that position where they might get automatic qualification. And if they do put in a good performance, it's only going to breed confidence through the squad that they'll go to the Ukraine and actually come away with the win.
Karen, enjoy the game. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Damien.
That game kicks off tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Coverage starts at 12:30. It's widely reported this morning that the FAI is to appoint the former commercial director of the English FA, Jonathan Hill, as its new chief executive. He was widely credited with doubling the FA's commercial income during his time working there. In golf, Rory McIlroy is very well placed after the first day of the second golf major of the year, the US Open, with details of the opening round. Here's Greg Allen.
Not since last year's US Open has Rory McIlroy got off to anything like a decent start in a major. And in truth, he has been a notoriously slow starter in golf's biggest events since his last major victory over 6 years ago. So yesterday's 3 under par 67, which sees him lie in a tie for fifth place, just two off the lead, is just where he needs to be and came as something of a relief.
First round of a major, you're always anxious to play well, and maybe I've overthought it at times. And yeah, I just went out today and just took what was given to me, a little more relaxed, and 67 here is it's always going to be a good score.
McIlroy's game really flowed yesterday. There were three twos in his card. There were also nine fairways hit off the tee, which was just one shy of the best average of the day. And there was a bit of swagger about him again. But this was also a very benign opening day all round in terms of scoring and conditions, especially for a course with as fearsome a reputation as Winged Foot. The first round leader, Justin Thomas, on 5 under, pointed out just why that was the case, with more than 20 players shooting rounds in the 60s.
I mean, the greens are very soft. I thought they'd be a little firmer, but I also understood that, they need to err on this side so they can kind of get them how they want this weekend. It's still Winged Foot. You still got to hit the shots. And yeah, I need to respect the course, but if I'm driving it well, playing well, I do need to try to make some birdies. And that's exactly what we did today.
Thomas, after his brilliant 65, leads by one from three players on 4 under par, among them the 2018 Masters champion Patrick Reed, who had a hole-in-one in his 66. That number was also posted by the young American star Matthew Wolff and also Belgium's Ryder Cup player Thomas Peters. McIlroy, after his 67, has a couple of veterans, Lee Westwood and Louis Westhuizen, also on the mark of 3 under. Shane Lowry birdied the first two holes, but he then bogeyed 5 of the next 6 on his way to a 6 of a par 76, the same mark posted by Graham McDowell, while the amateur James Sugrue shot an 8 over par 78.
Elsewhere, the Irish players are well down the leaderboard at the European Tour's Portuguese Open. Gavin Moynihan finished 2 over yesterday, Niall Kearney 3 over, Paul Dunne 4 over. The lead there overnight was at 5 under. Sam Bennett yesterday extended his lead in the points classification at the Tour de France. He remains in the green jersey. Primoz Roglic retained the leader's yellow jersey. He holds a 57-second lead. US Open tennis champion Naomi Osaka has withdrawn from the French Open next week due to a hamstring injury. And two race meetings take place at home today. Downpatrick from 1 o'clock, Dundalk away from 5:30. Sports news available throughout the day on the RTE News app and also on the RTE Sport website.